Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, just before the episode starts, we thought we'd jump on in here with a little goddamn freaking ad for you all.
This is news, baby. We have started a brand new Patreon, patreon.com/totalreboot. If you sign up to our Patreon for just $5 a month, you will gain access to our bonus content known as...
The Total Reboot Riffs, where we're going to be rebooting films that exist out there in the world, but putting our own little frickin' spin on them.
That's right, babies. We're going to be pitching our reboots to movies that already exist, but we're going to make them a little bit better.
We're also going to be doing some commentaries.
Yes.
That go over original tracks, so you can sync them up. You can sit at home, pop on Reservoir Dogs or some shit like that, and listen to us talk over it.
Right now, you have access to at least one episode, which I think is very, very funny. People have been loving it so far. They have already signed up to the Patreon. Mm-hmm. It is our reboot of American Pie.
Alexi style.
It's based on my life as a teenager now.
And it's weirdly hornier and yet more woke at the same time.
Far more woke than the original. And still, we're getting some commentaries up there for you. And one of them we've been talking about doing, we plan to do a Mike Myers horny box set of commentaries.
That's right. Every single Mike Myers movie.
We just committed to it now. We are going to do them.
No, we'll just do the Austin Powers ones.
For now. But yeah. Then we shall do every single other Mike Myers movie on there, bar Pete's Meteor.
We have to do Pete's Meteor. Okay. We got to do all of them.
So join up to patreon.com/totalreboot. $5 will get you everything for the hornier level. For horny babies, that's $6.90. $6.90.
That sounds familiar to something.
$6.90.
It makes me feel hungry for, I don't know, dinner for two or something.
I could eat for two, that's for sure. That is going to get you nothing extra.
It's the exact same thing, but it's just a little bit hornier.
Yeah, so it's the one to go for, baby.
And maybe we'll shout you out on the podcast.
Maybe we will. We will shout you out. So join us over at patreon.com/totalreboot. Enjoy the show.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast.
Hello, horny babies, and welcome to another episode of Mike Check, the only podcast that once upon a time went through the entire filmography of Mike Myers. Just to check if it was still Shagadelic, baby, we have exhausted that pool for the moment being. But now we have moved on to our second adventure for season two. We are now going through the entire filmography of SNL and its notable alumni. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos. With me, as always, is my partner in crime, a hysterical little bitch called Cameron James.
I'm the hysterical little bitch Cameron James, his or herself, and I'm very excited to be here with you, especially for this episode, because we're moving out of the 70s and into the swinging 80s.
Yes, the season of love is upon us.
Yeah, it's 1980, the summer of love. This is the famous year that all of the most cool and shagadelic shit ever happened in history.
It's the most shagadelic season of love that there have ever been so far.
Definitely. This is a particularly... the beginning of the horny era of cinema, dare I say it.
Oh, God, dare you say it? Dare to dream, bitch.
You're sassy as fuck today, by the way.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling myself today.
Yeah, you're feeling yourself. You're also feeling my upper inner thigh.
I'm feeling myself, feeling yourself.
Today, we're talking all about Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, one of the most famous movies of all time, especially when it comes to comedies.
comedy nerds love this freaking movie.
It has a special place in history, does it not?
It has a special place in herstory as well, I would say.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Does that come across cool?
I think it's cool. It makes you seem woke. It makes you seem like you are woke.
Okay, because I definitely want to project that I'm woke.
I think it's a wise decision, man. Yeah. Of your ethnicity, age, and gender.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the least you can do.
I think it's actually the bare minimum that I can do, and bare it's all that I'm willing to do.
Is to appear woke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's great, man. I'm really proud of you. Your career is taking a good change, I have to say.
Thank you so much.
Your career will go really
well.
Are
you making any changes in your career at the moment?
No.
No, staying the same.
Staying the same. I've decided to give myself a year just to figure shit out.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
I'm giving myself a year to figure shit out. I don't have a plan yet.
Uh-huh. Just figure out where you're at.
Where I'm at. Mentally. What my voice is, what my mind is at. Yeah. Where's my head at? Basement Jacks. Is
my favorite song.
I'm listening to a lot. It's inspiring. It's inspiring me just to check myself before I wreck myself.
Yeah. Can I give you one piece of advice?
I'm listening.
Go easier on yourself.
Really? You think I'm too hard on myself?
You're way too hard on yourself.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? No one's ever said that to me before. People usually say you need to be harsher.
No.
You give yourself too much leeway.
No. I think you're incredibly hard on yourself. You need to actually take a chill pill and relax
okay.
a bit. Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'll do that. How should I take this pill?
Rectally.
Take a chill enema. Take a chill enema.
A chill suppository, if you will.
Chill suppository. No, I want an enema. I want it to shoot up. Shoot up and flush my shit out.
This type of bodily function humor is exactly the kind of shit that National Lampoon's loved.
National Lampoon's loves to... loves to lampoon the human body.
Yeah, they really do. Is there anything they won't lampoon?
Oh, my God. Probably, what have they lampooned?
So far, fraternities.
Fraternities.
And now, country clubs.
Country clubs, golf culture. In the future, they would lampoon vacations.
Vacation culture.
Vacation culture.
And then, again,
Christmas vacation culture.
Frat culture again with the Van Wilder franchise.
Van Wilder. And it was a tad wilder.
It was a bit wilder.
They should have called it Tad Wilder because it's wilder by a tad than Animal House.
Definitely.
Definitely.
This is our second National Lampoon's movie. So technically not an SNL movie, but as we have explained very much so in the past, this movie and the National Lampoon's brand would not exist without Saturday Night Live and vice versa.
And it's alums. Definitely it's alums. One of its most famous alumni, Cameron, I'm going to posit to you right now. I'll suppose it to you. Before we dive into our little micro series that we're jumping into now, which is all about whom?
The star of this film and several more, to be sure, Mr. Cornelius Chevy Chase.
And what name shall we bestow upon this micro series?
We're going to be called the Chevy Chasers.
The Chevy Chasers. So this micro, spelled M-I-K-E-R-O, series in mic check is about Chevy Chase. It's called the Chevy Chasers.
We're chasing Chevy's career to see where it went wrong.
We're Chevy Chasers.
Yeah.
But before that, one other notable alumni, the aforementioned Mike Myers.
Mm.
It's time for our first segment of the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Breaking Myers News.
Did you say Breckenmeyer News?
I did not. Now, a lot of people mishear this. They think when I say Breaking Myers News,
okay,
they think I'm Breckenmeyer's News. They think it's about Breckenmeyer.
I thought you because I swear to God, you just said Breckenmeyer.
No, I said breaking. I seriously put a little fucking emphasis on the G.
Okay, well, I've actually only prepared for Breckenmeyer News.
Okay, well, let's do that first then.
Okay, nothing to report.
Okay, let's jump into Breaking Myers News. So this is some hot fucking news. Gong Show is coming back momentarily.
Yes.
First, it may be out this week.
Can't wait to not watch it until we have to.
Well, this might mean we have to.
Okay.
It's announced this week who the first celebrity judges are on the Gong Show.
Okay.
There is a video trailer that I shared on the Mike Check Facebook page. Hit up Mike Check on Facebook to see the exclusive content that I stole from ABC. So it's saying Tommy Maitland is the host once again. He's back.
Okay.
And it was confirmed that that is Mike Myers.
Yeah, we did get confirmation that Mike Myers is portraying the real man, Tommy Maitland, for purposes of this show.
For legal purposes.
Yeah.
So the first celebrity guest judges.
Okay.
Back into the fold.
Okay.
Will Arnett.
Perfect. He's great for this show.
He's been killing it. He's an EP on the show.
And don't you find him sexy?
I do find him sexy. He does make me horny.
Excellent.
Well, he did a few years ago.
Not so much now?
Not so much now.
When did he make you horny?
Probably Arrested Dev.
Yeah, probably
Arrested
Job.
Dev. Yeah, yeah.
Job's a very sexual character.
Yes. And I love that the show plays with that, continues to do that, in fact. Okay. Second guest celebrity judge.
Okay.
Mike Myers.
What the what?
Yeah, Mike Myers is the second celebrity guest judge on the premiere episode of The Gong Show.
Well then, but I thought...
I mean,
I
mean, excuse me?
Squeeze me? A baking powder?
Baking powder indeed.
So, how are they going to do that?
Well, maybe by the trickery of magic. Not even movie magic.
Oh,
I don't know.
Arts.
Does that throw into question that Tommy Maitland is not, in fact, Mike Myers?
Or, now you've just brought up magic to me.
Yeah.
Which, of course, by word association, led me to say the dark arts.
Mm.
Which then accidentally reminded me that Mike Myers is possessed by some sort of demon cult.
Mm.
So maybe...
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike is back involved.
Yeah.
Blessed be.
Blessed be Magic Mike, because like we said, there is a darkness about Mike that he himself is not aware of.
A dark, impish humor.
In his biography titled Canada. It's about him and every other Canadian that ever existed. Mainly it's about him. There is many moments, Cameron, where people have come up to him that are of the satanic religion.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that he has a wonderful energy about him.
And then they say, blessed be.
Yeah.
And they leave him alone. And when he walks home later, he is surrounded by wolves.
Yeah, that is in the book. Yeah. Some wolves chased after Mike Myers.
But they didn't chase him. They just walked alongside him as if he were one of them.
So he's saying that maybe Mike has split into two. He's split in twine.
Maybe
one is Tommy Maitland and one is Mike Myers now.
One is good and one is evil. I guess we'll find out which is which.
On the next episode of The Gong Show. So does that mean that we have to watch this episode, or are we going to save that one to the end?
We're going to have to watch it, I think.
I think this one calls for an emergency viewing. We will have to watch that one before.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what we are planning to do is to save the rest of the Gong Show episodes, unless some crazy shit happens.
Yeah, and really marathon watch them.
Crazy shit has happened. So that'll be... and a future episode of the Mike Check Podcast. The official home of everything fan-based Mike Myers style. But now let's get into the episode at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chevy Chasers. Episode 1, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, starring Chevy Chase as Ty Webb.
Who is that disgusting man over there?
A sportsman who really knows how to score.
So, what brings you to this nape of the woods, neck of the wave? How come you're here?
Rodney Dangerfield as Al Servant, a big shot.
My dinghy's bigger than your whole boat!
With an even bigger mouth.
Hey, somebody step on a duck.
Caddyshack, 1980, directed by known philanderer Harold Ramis.
Wow. Okay.
The snobs against the slobs. At an exclusive country club, an ambitious young caddy, Danny Noonan, eagerly pursues a caddy scholarship in hopes of attending college and in turn avoiding a job at the lumberyard. In order to succeed, he must first win the favor of the elitist Judge Smales and the McCaddy Golf Tournament, which Smales sponsors.
What the fuck is that synopsis? That's from Letterboxd?
That's from Letterboxd.com.
Oh, man. That's a boring movie.
Snooze, 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 snooze.
Honestly, that synopsis was a fucking snooze.
This is how I would do it. All right. I'm going to riff my own synopsis.
Please
right
do.
Now. Okay.
Directed by known philanderer Harold Ramis.
Caddyshack, 1980. Directed by man with secret family, Harold Ramis.
Aham, aham.
The snobs versus the slobs. Dude, sit back, spark up a fat doob and watch two dudes from SNL plus Rodney Dangerfield and some other people fuck around on a golf course, Happy Gilmore style.
Uh-huh.
There's tits, there's a fake shit in the pool, and you better believe there's a dancing gopher. Have fun at the frickin' golf course, nerds.
And we'll see you at the movies. I think that's a wonderful synopsis.
Thanks.
Because it's blue bloods versus blue collars in
this
farcical comedy from the twisted mind of known philanderer Harold Ramis.
Let's talk about Harold Ramis first.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis News.
Harold Ramis News. Before we dive into Harold Ramis News, I love Harold Ramis. He's great. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Rip Harold Ramis. Loved you in Grotebusters. Loved you in...
Love you in Ghost Gecko.
Loved you in Smurps.
Love you, Smurps. I love you, Groundhog Man. I think that's fun. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
He's made some really funk and cool shit.
He definitely rules, man.
He rules. And hopefully he's knocking up back in heaven.
I hope he's up
knocking
there
up
in
is
heaven.
One of the movies he's in as well. He plays the dad in Knocking Up.
That's right. He's Seth Grogan's dad in that movie, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I hope he's up there in heaven philandering and having secret kids.
I hope so.
So what was this on? Was this on Vulture?
It was on Vulture. There was an excerpt of Harold Ramis's daughter's book. Mm. One of his daughters, that is. And it was amazing. It was so well written.
Yeah, it was
and
great. It,
the chapters that were published on Vulture, you can check it out on vulture.com, the home of celebrity goss and news.
It's actually the first thing that comes up when I turn on my computer because it's my homepage.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I love Vulture. Great resource. Helps me put together one of my segments on this show, Breaking Wise News, every now and then. But his daughter wrote this new memoirs, and we read these sneak peek chapters that are in Vulture. Fabulously written.
Mm.
Really brings you into the thing. And it talks about how Harold Ramis had the secret affair with Amy Heckling. Well, it wasn't really so secret. Apparently, his wife was cool with it, but his new mistress was not cool with it.
Yeah, I wonder how much fucking tail was he getting? Because it was kind of a bit vague in that. It was like, yeah, he was cheating on his wife with Amy Heckling, but also he had a mistress.
Who was like his new
partner.
Who
was some that he ended up marrying later on. So
and
he
they
had
were
like,
together forever.
So if we would put it in Soprano style.
Uh-huh.
He has a wife.
Carmela.
A Guma.
Irina.
That Polish chick. Irina. And probably a side piece.
When Annabella Sciorra appears.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis really laying some pipe.
Good on him. But he had a secret. He had a child with
Amy Heckling.
Amy Heckling.
Great director.
Yep. And then they just weren't involved.
And they kept it secret from the daughter. They kept it secret from Harold's main daughter who wrote the memoirs.
Yeah, I'm actually going to buy this memoir.
It was secret
so
from
well
everybody
written.
Until much later in all of their lives. And then they sort of got... I guess they became a bit of a family towards the end. But that is... It's crazy.
Mm.
It's crazy stuff. It was very gossipy. I felt like I was reading a freaking Who Weekly.
Oh, God. But it was Who One Lifetimely.
Yeah.
It just covered one life.
I loved it.
It was really great. I suggest reading that Vulture article and let's move on.
I also suggest if you are in a committed relationship out there, find yourself a little side piece and have a little secret family.
I think it's fun.
Just to spice things up.
I've got kids.
Do you?
Out there, who knows?
I saw you dropping a few kids off at the pool earlier, but I didn't realize they were your kids.
Well, they were Chiquitos. That was a Chiquito that fell into the pool.
All right, we're on Chevy Chases today, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm, we're talking all about Chevy Chase, the funniest, hottest dude in SNL history.
He is a honey. He is a funny cunny.
He is a funny cunny. Let me ask you, first of all, Lex, what is your relationship like with Chevy Chase?
My relationship with Chevy Chase is difficult to define, more so than I would say any of the other SNL alum that have gone on to find massive success. Because I think because he is quite the prickly guy in real life,
he's
as we all
pear.
Know. It's famous he's a prickly pear.
Yeah.
He is not well liked. He is a nasty piece of work at points in time. Allegedly, I'm not saying for sure, that is alleged.
Yeah. I'm going to say confirmed he's scum.
So I remember when I was really getting into comedy, when I was like a young boy in the 90s.
Yeah.
Pre-teen, before I turned 10.
Ah, a pre-nager.
A pre-nager, as they are called. I was getting into the SNL Bad Boys and stuff like that. You're talking about my
Spade.
Spade.
Rock.
Sandler.
Farley.
Rock, Farley.
Sandler.
Mike is not in the SNL Bad Boys, but he is adjacent. Yeah. It was around that time, those video VHS tapes of the best ofs I was getting into.
Hey, because you modeled your whole freaking life on the SNL Bad Boys.
100% I did. I was a little bad boy of my own self. Actually, I was a sweet boy, but, you know, I love comedy, so it was funny. And then, but because I think he had disenchanted himself from that current crop of SNL, I never associated with him with SNL. I never saw him on those things. I only really had heard a little bit a few years later. I was mainly familiar with him from his movies. I didn't really see any of them, and knew about his failed talk show. His failed talk show after the late night wars were happening. He put his head in, totally really fumbled it, not unlike his famous pratfalls, and he he had to go home.
Yeah.
And then Community. It's probably the main thing I know him from. The TV show, Community by Dan Harmon.
So you never grew up watching the Vacation movies?
Not really. They weren't on my radar.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. See, because Chevy has been in my life forever. I can't remember a time where I wasn't aware of Chevy Chase.
Really?
I watched the Vacation movies a lot growing up. I've been watching Caddyshack since I was like a probably early teen, late preen. Since I was a late preen.
Yeah, a little preeny.
He's just always been there. And I kind of have gone through the rounds with Chevy Chase where I've been a fan and then I've kind of learnt through the zeitgeist that he's a bit of a dick. And so I've decided to hate him.
Yeah.
And then I've come back around on Community and then I've hated him again after hearing all the terrible stories that he did, the way he treated like beautiful Childish Gambino and Dan Harmon on that show. So I've gone through the ringer with him. But over the last couple of years, because I've been watching some of these earlier movies again.
Can I ask you a question? Would you think it's a good nickname, Preenager Gambino?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Next album, hopefully that's what he calls himself.
So continue, what were you saying?
I think in the last couple of years, I've watched a lot of these early 80s, late 70s things that he's been in. And I'm like astounded by how funny he is.
I never really because I just didn't know him. I never thought of him as funny, and I was like, oh, okay. But watching this movie today, he made me laugh a lot. And in Community, he made me laugh quite a bit.
I think at this point in his career, this Caddyshack sort of like 80s 70s era, is his persona is that he is hot and tall and arrogant. And I guess the like arrogance or confidence is what the comedy is.
And Chevy is all of those things.
Yeah.
And I think to use a golfing terminology, he plays it to the tee.
He certainly does. And it's a hole in one.
I loved him in this movie. This is a movie I'd never seen before. We watched it today. And you can testify for me. Did I laugh during this movie? Did I laugh?
Yeah, you absolutely yucked it up.
I laughed a few times, I would say. Many times.
About, if I had to count them up, probably 9 times.
9 or more.
Yeah, maybe 9
or 10. I wouldn't
even
say I definitely know it's a preen the number. It's not in the teens.
No,
it's a preen.
God, no. It's
but
a preen.
I had some high quality laughs.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was to do with one man in particular, Mr. Chevy Chase. Chevron Chase or whatever his name is.
His name's Cornelius.
Cornelius.
Yeah.
Corny. I like that. Because it was the first time I was really getting a latch onto what the actual comedic persona of this guy was.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's above it all. He's kind of above the scene, that is something that you said.
Yeah.
And I like...
He's never 100% present as an actor. He's always kind of has a twinkle in his eyes, if to say, hey, everyone, I'm in a freaking movie. Isn't that crazy?
He also doesn't break that either. He stays in it. Which is, I think it's kind of hard to describe what he's actually doing, I think. Because like he is above it, but he's also doesn't break out of it. Which is something that I really like and appreciate. Because it was something that I think is very difficult to do. But he does it with an air of naturality that I don't think he could do anything else apart from that.
Yeah, I can't picture him being... If he was too wacky... Like if he was Bill Murray doing, because Bill Murray really hams it up in this movie.
Yeah.
He's doing like a stupid face and voice the whole time.
It's the hammiest Bill Murray that there is.
It's definitely the hammiest Bill Murray. If Chevy did that, it wouldn't work.
No.
But also if Chevy was more grounded, that wouldn't work either. He occupies a really odd space. And I think the space is like funny leading man. He set the tone for funny leading men to come.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt, Ryan Reynolds, especially Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I think that Ryan Reynolds is really ripping off Chevy Chase in this movie.
It is that kind of upper-class, blue-blooded individual who's handsome, you know.
Joel McHale,
of course.
Community, obviously.
He plays his son in Community.
And
maybe and not also, in the plot, but
Joel McHale also played Chevy Chase in a futile and Stupid Gesture.
About Doug Kenny, rest in pieces.
Yeah, rip.
Rip to Doug Kenny, this podcast dedicated to you, mate. Hope you're listening to it up in heaven.
You think Doug Kenny's in heaven? I reckon he'd be mucking around down there in hell.
In hell?
Yeah.
I hope
cracking
not.
The devil up.
Really, he's making the devil laugh. One of the hardest people to get a
hard
laugh
audience,
out of.
Audience, man.
He's tough. The guy hates the fiddle.
Yeah.
He's very good at it. He does not mince with other people playing the fiddle.
I reckon hardest audiences ever.
Yeah.
In order.
Okay.
Devil number one.
With a freaking bullet.
With an exclamation point at the end. The devil, hard audience member. Number two, the Apollo. In Harlem. Yeah, that is a tough audience. They've got a guy there called the Sandman, and if you're doing bad, he comes out and just starts dancing on the stage, and everyone knows
you're bombing.
Adam Sandler does it.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been doing it for like 40 years.
And then I would say the next hardest, Simon Cowell,
oh my God. He's the closest thing we've got to the devil in real life.
The devil here on Earth may as well be Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
He can make or break.
He certainly can.
Oh, if you get that freaking X from him, good luck.
Forget about it.
Good luck making it.
Then probably the Royal Commission.
It's hard to kill at the Royal Commission.
It's really hard to kill there.
Because it is a serious tone. That's already against you. And then these people don't have a sense of humor.
No.
You can't go, it was a gag.
You can't go, oh, those emails I sent were just a joke.
It was a bit.
It was sarcastic. I was saying, wouldn't this be funny?
Here, let me read it out.
Yeah, I'll do it in a voice.
Is that, now it's funny because sarcasm, obviously now. What do you want me to do? Write, this was sarcasm in the email? It's breaking it if I do that.
Yeah. God, you guys don't get it.
Ugh. Man, it is tough working in comedy.
And the final hardest audience ever
is
when you're doing your SNL audition.
Oh, Lorne.
And it's just for Lorne and the producers.
Lorne, tough to crack.
And famously, they do not laugh.
Yeah. Funny. Yes, funny. I give it 1 million laughs.
I wonder if Chevy ever had to audition for SNL.
Nah, he was on. I reckon he was one of the only ones that didn't even have to do a screen test.
Yeah, probably. Hey. Someone just,
they just look
like,
at him and go, yeah, that works.
He's so handsome.
We can get this beautiful bitch on here.
Who? I think it's been a while since there's been like funny, hot guys leading movies.
Funny, sexy, cool guys?
Funny, sexy, cool. Oh my God, is he funny, sexy, cool?
Is he sexy? He is handsome, but is he sexy?
Well, he has some sexy scenes in this movie, I think. Well, maybe they're not sexy, but they're romantic. Mm. Like he has that topless girl in his bed and he's massaging her and drinking tequila shots with her and stuff. And it's clearly sexual. Is it sexy?
Maybe. What's the sexiest scene is when he and the woman are having tequila at the piano, I would say, is quite sexy.
Yeah, but then after that, he's massaging her back and she's topless on the bed.
I would say Chevy Chase is officially funny, sexy, cool.
Wow.
He really is.
Yeah, and cool. I mean, the guy looks great in those linen shirts.
He does. I would also say funny, sexy, pool. He should have been Deadpool originally.
Definitely.
You say he's a Ryan Reynolds archetype.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there. Mm. Do you think that Chevy could have been the original Deadpool?
Well, as we all know, the Deadpool comics started in the 1800s.
Yeah. They were some of the first funny papers ever written.
Yeah.
Before comedy translated to real life, it was comic books.
It used to be flip books. Yeah. There'd be flip books of Deadpool.
It used to be newspapers.
But Deadpool,
like
those flip books, he would like go, at the end of the book, he'd be like, I'm in a freaking book right now. How did I even get in this book?
Can you tell me
that? Are your
that?
Fingers sore from flipping this flip book? Because this is a flip book, by the way. And then he'd flip you off.
Yeah. He's my flip book.
Yeah.
And then he'd chuck you the bird.
Yeah.
He'd flip you the freaking bird.
And then the next stage for Deadpool was those lanterns with...
shadow puppets. Deadpool was a shadow puppet. Which is the earliest form of film with shadow puppets.
And still probably the funniest.
I mean, shadow puppets crack me the fuck up. When someone pulls a good rabbit in front of a projector screen.
I mean, my favorite shadow puppet probably from The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it is funny stuff.
It is funny.
He's getting
stuff.
All that shit pulled out of his anus. Yeah. All that dynamite or whatever it is. Yeah. That's funny.
Rope.
Yeah, the rope, the dynamite.
A mallet.
I like it when Mini-Me looks like he's pregnant inside of Austin Powers. Yeah, that's Goldmember.
That's a funny shadow puppet.
That's one of my favorite shadow puppets. Then probably it is Deadpool after that.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been around for quite some time.
Deadpool was in development from probably the beginnings of cinema through to a couple of years ago. And at some point, it could have been Chevy playing the lead. And dare I say, it should have been.
It should have been Chev, even now. If they got him to play Deadpool's dad, Dadpool, or something
Dadpool,
like that.
Yeah.
They got him to play Dadpool, that would be freaking awesome.
I reckon he'd be great at it. Because he's like you said, he's above it all. He's a bit meta.
Yep.
He's confident. He's handsome. He'd be crackin' wise.
Yeah. But do you think Chev could be put into the ugly makeup that Deadpool is famous for?
He would refuse.
Because Deadpool, he looks kind of like if an avocado fucking rooted another avocado.
That's so funny.
I
oh my
know.
God.
It
oh
is
my
funny.
God. He looks like a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Topographical map of Utah.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
God, he looks like if someone had some sort of horrible disease like colon cancer of some kind.
Yeah.
He went into a special facility to have that be eliminated.
Okay.
But instead they did some sort of weird secret government testing on him.
Right.
And
he got kind of
fired up in a case.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing.
And that burned his skin.
I see what you're doing.
And it's making you laugh a lot.
Yeah, you're doing... That's meta. That's meta what you're doing, yeah.
Well, it's funny stuff. It's
undeniable.
That's
making me laugh so hard.
I know. I'm so happy to make my friends laugh.
I don't think Chevy would ever put on that makeup.
No way.
He couldn't deal with it. He's that's the thing about Chev, is the ego is not part of a character for him. It is real.
It's real ego.
That's real ego, man. But I like this character in Caddyshack because he is like an egotistical, above it all, slightly aloof, absurd character. But he's also supposed to be Zen.
Yeah.
His name's Ty Webb and he's like this Zen golf master. And there's something funny to me about a very calm person who's just a master of whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Like that scene where he just randomly throws golf balls around the green and then putts them all in without even trying.
Except for one.
Except
and his
for
little
one
reaction
that
when that one doesn't go in, he's like, it's so funny.
Yeah, I love that. I love just this idea of someone who's just the best at what they do, but they don't care.
That's Deadpool to a T.
That is Deadpool
to a T. The best at what he does that he doesn't even give a damn.
Yeah, that is fucking Pool, actually.
Oh, that's fucking Pool, man. That's so Pool. That's so freaking Pool, dude. And then who else do we have in this movie? Because it's just another... There's another SNL alum in this film.
There's actually two more SNL alum if we're going to get technical about
it. Okay, how technical are we going to get?
We're going to get so freaking technical. We've got... Obviously, the main one, we've already mentioned him already.
Chevron Chase.
Second main one, who we've also already mentioned.
And this guy is Paul. In fact, the next two are Paul. They're part of the gene pool.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Gene Pool should be Dad Pool's real name.
Hello, my name's Gene Pool.
I'm talking, of course, about Bill Murray.
And who's the other
William
SNL?
H. Murray.
William H. Murray and?
Brian Doyle Murray.
Yes, Brian Doylean Murrayan is in this movie as well.
Both are SNL alum.
And they're both alumni of the Murray family.
They are. And there are some other Murrays out there. There's Joel Murray, who you might know from Mad Men.
There's Murray from Father Concords. Played by Rhys Darby.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
That's it, yeah.
Those are those three, but that's a few.
That's enough.
It's plenty.
Yeah, if, you know, two's a couple, then four's a few, for sure.
I mean,
hands
definitely.
Down. Hands down.
Definitely. So this is an iconic moment in cinema and comedy. We finally get to see the meeting of the two great actors, Bill Murray and Chevy Chase.
Do you know the story behind that scene?
I do not know the story behind that scene.
You know that they hate each other.
Famously, they're nemesis.
Sworn enemies.
They're sworn enemies.
Bill Murray was famously not cast in Saturday Night Live when it first went on the air. And he was furious about this because he was one of the funny fuckers mucking around on National Lampoon's.
The radio show.
Yeah, the radio show.
The original podcasts.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm pouring one out for radio right now.
Rest in peace, radio. We
Rest
killed
in
you,
peace,
man.
Radio.
Sorry.
You're dead, bitch.
Sorry, man. Mic check killed you last night in the coffin.
Suck our dicks.
Yeah, please do. I'd love it. It feels really good.
It feels so good.
So fucking nice, actually.
The ending.
My God, that when it's happening and it's like you get to a nice point and then you're just like, this is it. That's the end.
Honestly, when it's happening, I'm like, this is so good. This is so good. This could never get any better. And then all of a sudden I go, hang on a second.
Hold the phone.
I spoke
hold
too
the
soon.
Phone.
Yeah. Hold this phone and cup the balls. Yeah, that's the kind of shit we do on this show. So they hate
each other
because, yeah, Bill wasn't cast in the show. Then halfway through the second season of SNL, 1976, The Summer of Love, Chevy Chase quit to become a movie star because he thought, fuck this, I'm bigger than this TV shit. And he was right, to be fair. And they replaced him with Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray then became a huge fan favorite on SNL.
Yes.
And when Chevy came back to host, Chevy was threatened by Bill's popularity.
Wow.
And they had a fist fight in the hallowed halls of Studio 8H.
Paul versus Cool. I'd love to see that. That's one of the most famous takedowns ever.
Yeah, it was an epic takedown and an epic fail on behalf of Chevy Chase.
Yeah, he did fuck it up. And I think it is interesting in this movie, they have one scene together. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, they had no scenes together originally. Mm-hmm. And they're not friends, obviously. They're enemies. Ever
they're
since
sworn
that
enemies.
Famous fight
at
8H. They swore they would never be friends. But known philanderer and director Harold Ramis said, you know what? We got two of the greats here.
Yeah.
We got the pool and the cool.
Yeah.
We got to get them together in a scene. So the three of them had lunch. They had a few drinks.
Wow,
they made
okay.
up a little bit. They came up with a premise for a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And later that night, they shot this scene and they improvised it.
And what is the scene?
The scene is that Chevy Chase accidentally hits a golf ball into Bill Murray's groundskeeper's shed/house.
Yep.
And goes in to play through. And they end up smoking a fat doob, drinking some beautiful wine and riffing.
They riff. And they riff up a storm.
You compared it to another famous scene in Hollywood. Why don't you tell me what that
was? I'd say it is like the meeting of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino in Heat. An iconic moment in cinema. It's like the meeting of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yep.
It is like the meeting of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino in the film Righteous Kill. The third film they starred in together. It is as iconic as those three moments.
Wow. Don't you reckon, speaking of Bobby D and Pacino, that if you were Francis Ford Coppola and you were making The Godfather Part 2, you would introduce a time travel element?
Yeah. Have a scene where they get together, even if it's a dream. And he's like talking to him. He's like, my son, Michael, why don't you go, why don't you be nice to your wife, you know? Be nice to your wife. Be nice to her.
It's like Borat.
Be nice to your wife and my wife, your mother. Be nice to her. You know, why doesn't he do a scene like that? That would be really exciting. He could have broken the mold and had them together on screen. 1974, baby.
Instead of making us wait till the goddamn 90s.
Till 1995? That's like 600 years later. It's so far away.
Well,
you
luckily...
Just make a scene where Michael goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the movie, last scene, because it just resolves everything. It's like, your wife gonna have abortion. So you be nice to her. Be nice to your wife, Michael. My son, Michael.
Oh, my God. The worst. Well, luckily, we didn't have to wait till the 90s before we got Bill and Chevy together.
Have they ever been together again?
I don't think so.
Hectic.
The scene is freaking electric.
It's electric. It is fire, one might say. It is lit.
It is lit, and so are those joints. This is all about weed.
Yeah, it's all about weed, and I love weed. I think weed is one of the funniest things that ever existed.
Weed makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, God, just having it, I just start giggling.
I don't even need to have it. If someone just mentions it, like,
Me too.
Right now I'm making you laugh. Because you know what's so funny?
Yeah.
I love it when it's, okay, a certain time of day.
Yeah, what time of day would that be?
20 past four.
Oh my gosh.
40 to five.
Oh my gosh, dude, you're too rich.
Yeah, and if someone says, hey, look at the time, it's time to spark up one.
And you're like, what time is it?
And then I check my watch, and I famously wear a watch.
You wear a little watch,
It's a pocket watch.
You have a pocket watch, you have a fob that you bring out.
I open up the fob, I go,
bop.
40 to 5. Oh, hang on. What's a quicker way of saying that? 420. Oh, my God. They're talking about the code for weed.
Oh, God.
And it honestly makes me laugh so much.
God, you guys are killers. You are killers.
And that's what this scene is. This scene, they smoke a big fat J and they just crack each other up.
Yeah, and it's worth every penny that it cost to watch on iMovie.
Which was $4.99.
$4.99, worth every penny. Yeah. You know what you can do for $4.99? Or a bit more than that, one cent more, you can subscribe to our Patreon where you'll be able to get bonus content. And it is worth every centy.
It's so funny. We get blazed and then we just make up stuff.
And it's really crazy.
I wonder if they actually smoked weed in order to write this movie. Because do you know who wrote this movie?
I do know who wrote this movie.
You know, Doug Kenny wrote it.
Famous
National Lampoon mastermind.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis, known cheater. And father of secret children.
And director. Brilliant director.
Brilliant director.
And great actor.
Pretty good actor, yeah.
Love him as an actor. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's so fucking great. He's transformative as an actor.
And the third credited screenwriter on this is another member of the Murray Gene Pool, Brian Doyle Murray.
BDM.
Can you imagine those three fellas just getting absolutely ripped to shreds?
God, three fellas. That's one of my favorite movies, three fellas. Got that great poster with Brian Doyle Murray, Doug Kenny,
Harold Ramis.
Yeah. Just up there, and then they got a dead guy underneath the head, underneath the writing.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Dead guy, by the way, should be the name of Deadpool.
Deadpool's son.
Yeah.
They got Dadpool.
Yeah.
AKA Genepool. Then they got Deadpool.
Yeah.
And Dead Guy.
His son.
He doesn't take his dad's name. That's a lot of the story.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, Mutt Williams. I hope you're in the new one. I love Mutt.
Mutt
was so good.
He was so cool, man. He rode a motorbike and
Mutt
stuff.
Mutt was so cool. And in the next one, think about it, because it'll probably be set in the swinging 60s.
Oh,
Mutt would be a freaking hippie. He looked like Dennis Hopper in Easy Rider.
In Easy Rider on his bike.
Bike, long hair, moustache.
Can I pitch a scene for this movie?
Please.
So Mutt is on the his bike. He pulls up, sees his dad.
Yep.
And Mutt did this. He had this little character quirk that he had in the movie. He had that DuckTales haircut, that duck's ass haircut. Slicked back. He would often get his comb out and comb it up.
Yeah.
I reckon this one, he gets a comb out. He's about to put in his hair. Fonzie style goes, I don't need it. Throws the comb away. And he never combs his hair ever again.
That's so good.
Oh, man.
He becomes a long hair.
He becomes a long hair, man. Hectic, man. I can't wait for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull 2, whatever, whatever it's going to be called.
I think it's called Aliens of the Lost Ark.
Wow. It has to be.
Yeah.
Temple of Doob. Mutt Williams at the Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
That's awesome, dude. Because the 60s.
The 60s is the coolest.
After the 80s.
80s is coolest, then 60s.
60s is also coolest.
Yeah.
70s?
Definitely the coolest.
Oh, God. So hands cool, down, man. It's freaking cool.
But nothing beats the 90s. That's the coolest.
Yeah. Do you know who I think the king of cool is?
Who?
One of the guys in this movie.
Who's that?
This is a guy who is called Rodney Dangerfield.
Let's talk about Rodney. Rodney plays a nouveau riche character in this film. And
New money.
Who you described him as sort of a Groucho Marx-esque. He floats through the film. He has one-liners that he cracks at everyone's expense.
He's roasting turds in the whole movie everywhere.
Yeah.
I love the Groucho Marx archetype. It's a guy that is kind of... They're not unlike a Deadpool, where they are kind of aware that they're in a movie. They know that they're making an audience laugh. They may not be making anyone in the scene laugh.
Yeah.
They're very clearly making an audience happy by making fun of everyone else, roasting the turds.
Although he is cracking people up in this movie.
I mean, he can't not.
Everyone in the movie who follows him just cracks up and then... He'll often end scenes by making people start dancing.
Yeah, and I think that is a funny fucking use of Rodney Dangerfield because at this point, he's mainly known as a stand-up, right?
This is a movie that breaks his first movie.
As a star. Mm. And I can't imagine him dancing until I saw this film.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would be part of his comedy shtick on stage as a comedian, right?
Is it known to me?
No, in this movie, he dances so much, he gets bands to play more music and fun music, and he loves dancing around, being crazy and weird dancing. And it is so funny. That's a genius little thought to go, this old fat guy will be so funny dancing. And I love Rodney Dangerfield. I have a soft spot for him. I feel a lot of sorrow for him. I feel very sad for him.
Why do you feel sad for him?
Well, sadly, he did pass away.
Tragically, Rodney Dangerfield is no longer with us.
And I think at the tragedy of Rodney Dangerfield, as he lived all these years, thinking that he wasn't getting any respects.
He
didn't think he was getting respect from anyone
in
the industry.
He used to say, I don't get no respect.
That's what he's known for saying. And to me, that is a tragedy because little would he know that he would go on to become one of the most respected comedians of all time.
Yeah, I wish we could tell him now.
You know, do get respect.
I wish we could go back via some kind of time travel device or even a dream.
Yeah.
And then... and say to him, what would you say to him if you could go back in a dream?
Hey. Rodney, you get respect, You get respect.
Yeah.
You get big respect, man. You get my respect. Oh, you get my respect, okay?
Yeah.
Booyaka sha.
Yeah.
I would say that to him.
Yeah.
You get plenty of respect, man.
What do you think? Maybe his life would have been different.
It would be different. He'd probably still be alive today.
Yeah. How did he die? I'm going to look it up. He died... of a broken heart from getting no respect, it says here.
I mean, it could have saved him.
That's so sad.
It's so sad because I just can't understand how he thought that would be the case.
No.
He was a beloved fixture of the scene.
So much respect.
I have so much respect for him now.
I respect his stand-up. I respect his persona. I respect his funny face.
I respect the man behind all of that as well.
The real man, Jack Cohen. That's his real name.
Really? That's his real name? I thought it was Rodney Dangerfield.
No, Rodney Dangerfield is, in fact, a character name.
Really? Well, I have respect for Mr. Cohen as well.
Yeah. The man behind Rodney.
Yeah.
Well, the man we all respect.
Big respect to him.
Hey, to Rodney.
To Rodney. He's one. Yeah. Cameron, you'd seen this movie before. You said you grew up with it a lot. What did you get?
I was raised on this,
movie. You were weaned on it?
Yeah, I was weaned on this shit. I was raised on it.
And what did you get out of watching it this time?
What did I get out of watching it this time? Well, I got to admit something to you. This time around, perhaps, was the first time I realized how horny this movie is.
Yeah.
There is a large plot in this movie about a young girl whose name is Lacey Underwood or something.
Yeah.
Who fucks two of the lead characters.
And she is the daughter of the judge.
Daughter or the niece of the judge or something like that. She sleeps with Chevy Chase and with Danny Noonan. And I, for the first time, actually realized her character was a part of this movie. I don't think I'd ever paid attention to it before.
She's like a part of the movie.
I was always like, oh, yeah, this is the movie about Rodney Dangerfield walking around saying funny things.
Roasting turds.
Roasting turds and shit. But no, I was like, realized this character has sort of a plot point apart from being the hot chick.
Yeah.
And that plot is... Actually, no, she's just the hot chick.
She is just the hot chick.
She's the hot chick. But it's like kind of woke because she's like free-spirited. And
yeah,
she,
it's in her control.
Yeah, she decides who she wants to hook up with. And when she hooks up with Danny Noonan, and he says something like, you know, you can still... I don't want you to feel like you have to stop seeing other people. Mm. And she laughs in his face because she's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, duh.
I'm in charge.
Yeah, newsflash, I know.
Newsflash, I'm in charge of my life.
Newsflash is the 70s, okay?
Hello, knock, knock. What time is it?
Who's there?
1979, but this will come out in 1980.
Yeah, it will come out.
So this is a different era.
So we are probably making this in the 70s. Maybe we're crossing over to like January 80s
yeah,
or
maybe
something.
It's sort of in the 80s when this is... being wrapped up in post-production or whatever.
And sure, like, it does take maybe 3 or 4 years for a decade to really start.
Yeah.
So, technically, we
so
are in
the start of the 80s will feel like the 70s for a little while. Yeah. But newsflash, I'm an 80s woman.
Yeah.
And this shit is in my control.
This is my time.
This is my shit. I'm in charge.
I'm the boss.
Yeah.
There'll be a program coming out later in the decade called Who's the Boss? And turns out it's all women.
It's the woman is the boss and Tony Danza is the help.
He's a fucking housekeeper. Of course he's not the fucking boss.
No, he's the manservant.
He just works.
Yeah, he works for her.
Tony Danza will never be a fucking boss, okay?
No way. The only thing he's the boss of is his own destiny.
And he does control it with a mighty fist. Because he was a boxer back in the old days.
So I think I noticed that this is quite a sexual movie. I didn't really ever pay attention to that when I was younger.
It is quite horny. It's definitely a horny flick. I think this movie as well, what it really surprised me on, I thought it was going to be a bit more of a broader, bawdy sketch comedy film. Mm-hmm. But it's actually quite a nostalgic film. It feels more something in line with something like the original Bad News Bears, starring Walter Matthau.
Yeah, you said that. What makes you think of it as that?
Because a lot of it is from the perspective of young people, this movie. All the characters we've talked about so far have been the older characters. But Danny Noonan, played by Michael O'Keefe, is a young man who is... he wants to go to university or some shit. I don't even really remember what his story is.
He's trying to get a scholarship to... college, but he can potentially get it through a caddy scholarship.
Yeah, which is unheard of. But he lives at home with like a million brothers and sisters and his mum and his dad. And just like the movie starts there in a really weird way and kind of aligns you with him. Yeah. And it feels like a summer camp movie with all these other young caddies. And it just feels like none of that is at all funny, really. It's all just kind of nice, nostalgic feeling, like Americana.
Yeah, you actually, you compared it to Saturday Night Fever.
Mm.
I mean, I was thinking Saturday Night Live, but sure, Saturday Night Fever.
Both are important things.
Working class families,
uh-huh.
A young working class boy who aspires to be more than he is.
Yeah.
He wants to go to Harvard.
Yes.
Cannot afford it.
Harvard is the home of National Lampoon, the Harvard Lampoon.
So he really tries to change himself in order to become... one of the elite, one of the snobs.
Yep.
But one of the lessons he learns throughout this film is that he needs to be true to himself. He needs to be a slob.
Wow.
And he comes close, man. He gets a taste of the cherry. I mean, he gets to fuck that hot girl.
That rich woman. Yeah. So he gets a little taste of that life. But in the end, I don't remember how the film ends.
The movie ends with the judge and a doctor challenge Rodney Dangerfield and Chevy to a golf tournament for some reason.
Yes.
The winner gets $80,000. And Ronnie Dangerfield sucks at golf.
Really?
So he subs in Danny Noonan.
Yes.
And the judge says, you can either play this tournament or you can, I'll give you a scholarship, but not both.
Yeah.
And Danny Noonan says, I choose to play the tournament.
Wow.
And so he foregoes
the scholarship.
In order to play alongside Chevy Chase and have a hell of a time.
And what happens?
They win.
Congratulations to Chevy and Danny Noonan. That brings us to the end of our first episode of the Chevy Chasers micro series. Ladies and gentlemen, horny babies, Chevy Chasers, thank you for joining us on another episode of Mic Check, the only podcast that goes through the entire filmography of SNL and its notable alumni. Maybe not the entire filmography, but notable filmography.
Because we've had a look at the list and there's so much fucking stuff on
here.
There
is so much stuff.
But for the next two episodes, we're going to be doing Chevy Chasers, I think.
And what are the movies that we're going to be studying for Chevy Chasers?
Look, there's a lot. There's so many, mm-hmm. but we've decided to narrow it down to three in total, Caddyshack being the first.
Yep.
The next one we're going to dive into is a little movie called Fletch.
Which is a movie that stars Chevy as a clear lead. Which yes. I think is why we're going for that one.
Yes, it came out in 1986. And I have some theories about why it came to be mm-hmm. and how it came to be in the wake of such films as 48 Hours and Beverly Hills Cop.
Yep.
And then the next one after that is a true SNL film because it was written by Lorne Michaels himself. Yes, I'm writing a movie.
Yes, I also have a funny bone.
Yes, I can also write movies, screenplays, television shows, $1 million, all sorts of things.
Okay, yes. What's your little kitty's name?
Throw me a freaking Chevy Chase here, okay? The movie is, of course, The Three Amigos, which stars Chevy alongside notable SNL alum Martin Short and frequent SNL host Steve Martin.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've never seen that. I've never seen any of the Chevy Chase movies that we're discussing.
Oh, we're going to have fun.
And obviously, there's a big one that we have left out.
Yes.
We have not put Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation, in this bracket, because there's also a remake of that movie starring Ed Helms, and we'll be talking about that eventually, maybe alongside these films, on the Total Reboot podcast with Cameron James and Lexi Toliopoulos. That's us, if you missed the start of the episode where we introduced ourselves. That is another podcast we do where we compare and contrast reboots and remakes with their original movies. So you'll be hearing that on there fairly soon as well. Well, that wraps up this episode, really, and you can look forward to those episodes coming out very soon. If you want to keep in touch with us, you can talk to us on Twitter at MikeCheckPod. You can talk to me exclusively on Twitter at ThisIsAlexi, and I'm on Instagram, the same thing. Cameron?
I'm on Insta and Twitter as at IamCameronJames, and fuck, I love social media and I love to communicate with people.
I do. I love it too. And ladies and gentlemen, you heard this at the start of the episode, but if you want a little bit of bonus content from us two boys, you can head on over to patreon.com/totalreboot, where we are putting out some little bonus content every 2 weeks. It is a new podcast from us, a spin-off podcast called Total Reboot Riffs, where we will be inventing and pitching our own Rift reboots. So if you subscribe to that Patreon, you'll get access to all of those little bonus contents. We've got a $5 tier. That's a totalitarian level. We've got a $6.90 tier. That is the horny baby level, which does not get you anything extra, but thank you for doing that.
Maybe as a little extra incentive, if you're paying the $6.90 for that Patreon, if you give us 5 stars on iTunes and give us a movie you'd like to see rebooted, perhaps a horny movie you'd like to see rebooted, we can reboot Riff that for you.
Mm-hmm. And actually, why don't we give a little shout out to those patrons at the $6.90 horny baby level today. On Mic Check, we have got quite a few. These are just a few that I want to give a shout out today on our first episode since we started the Patreon. I want to say a big horny hello to Carl G.
Hello, Carl G.
Carl G, you're a beautiful horny little bitch, and thank you for helping us along the way, our Mic Check journey.
Stay hard, stay wet, and stay cool.
I want to say another big thank you to patron known as JS.
Hi, JS. Hope that stands for just sexy.
Because it certainly does. Another big thank you and a big hello to the very horny Katie S.
Hi, Katie S, you minx!
Groovy, baby! And another big hello and a big kiss on the cheekos to Lockie C.
Oh, Lockie, does C stand for what I think it stands for?
Well, it's standing for me right now. Oh, the C does stand. And another big hello, baby, hello, horny to Sam S.
Oh, Sam S. Sexy.
Bailey S. Hello, baby.
Oh, Bailey. Bailey, baby. Hi, thanks so much for paying.
Bailey, just to break character for a moment, thank you so much. We appreciate your patronizing of
thank
us.
Thank you so
we
much.
We really
thanks
appreciate
for patronizing
that. Thank you
us.
So much.
Thank you. It's an actual dream come true, so thank you so much.
And we've got to, I'm just going to say a few more, Cameron.
All right.
Another big thank you to Jessa M.
Oh, Jessa, $1 million.
God. Another big thank you to Robert R.
Robert, are you horny? Yes, I am.
And another big hello, kiss, kiss, kiss to Rose W.
Rose, wah, wah, wee, wah.
That is a quote from Mr. Borat Sagdiev. And Rose, thank you so much. You were actually the first one to make a donation to us.
Oh, really? Rose was?
Rose was the first patron of ours. So, Rose, thank you so much. You are the number one horny baby this week. You did it. And all of you others
you are
also
the
number one.
Rose, you are the titular horny baby.
Thank you so much, guys. So you can head on over to patreon.com/totalreboot to join our secret club. And once we get enough, we're going to start a little secret Facebook group called the Total Reboot / Mic Check Cinephile Registry, where you will join us on Facebook and become a registered cinephile, where we'll be discussing all things cinema and Mike Myers related in that secret group. No one can find out from the outside world what we are talking about. It is purely confidential.
The only thing is you do have to go around your neighborhood and knock on doors and let people know you're on the cinephile registry.
I'm a cinephile.
Yeah,
I'm a cinephile. It's official. I can't help it. I love movies. I freaking love movies, okay? I've tried to wean myself on TV, but I don't like it. I love movies, the real stuff. It's been around longer than TV, and it'll be around longer once TV is gone.
Wow, that's awesome stuff.
Thanks.
So thank you so much for listening. We love you. We're really attracted to all of you, and we hope...
Really, we are.
We really are attracted to all of you. So thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
It's my check. It's my check.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.